if God's been good to you,
tell him his goodness.
You ought to testify.
Testify.
If I get a witness,
tell him his goodness.
Get up,
get up, testify.
Somebody shout glory.
Tell him his goodness.
Get up.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of the Unscripted Pulpit. It's Austin here with you. I am joined by none other, the man and the myth, Brother Jeremiah Cadell, and the legend herself, who just come down off the great high mountain, probably interceding with Jesus, or I think they went out and played pickleball or something. I'm not for certain. She's with him all the time.
It was tennis.
Her and Jesus were out playing tennis. The one and only Sister Sarah Cadell. If I had my soundboard up right now, we'd give you a big old round of applause. Good to have you on the show tonight, Sarah.
Thank you all. I'm glad to be here once again.
Once again, well, we treat her like she's a guest, y'all, but she's just as, well, she's just as equal as me and Jeremiah are. I mean, let's be honest here. She just is not as vocal. We're trying to break her out of that habit. Trying to break her out of that. But, well, I take that back. That might be a lie, Sarah. You're pretty vocal when we tick you off, but you're not vocal with this microphone in your face.
Well.
She ain't going to say nothing. She ain't going to say nothing. Oh, she going to plead the fifth. Well, that'll work. Also, the one and only Brother Jeremiah here with us. How are we tonight, Jerry?
I've got my structure back, Austin.
Hey,
she's here with us now. So.
We've recorded what, 4 episodes, 5 episodes tonight.
Yep.
And we didn't have any structure, so they're gonna be good episodes. Well, before we get into it, as always, a little bit of housekeeping. Remember our website, www.theunscriptedpulpit.com. You can find everything you want to know about us, all the fun stuff, who we are, what we're all about. Also, check out our new merch line. We dropped yesterday, I think it was, that drop. We got some awesome stuff on there, t-shirts, hoodies, cups, hats. We even got some onesies. So get them babies dressed up. Get your kid an early Christmas present. We have paired with Under Armour. We have a very nice, I'm a child of God, Under Armour backpack at a good price. So we're not out here to price gougings. We don't make very much off that stuff. We just want our name out in the public so that people can know who this man named Jesus is. Got some big stuff working up. We are so happy about. The Lord has really blessed us with our ministry here. Also, don't forget to like and follow and subscribe and all that other stuff on all the platforms you listen on. All of these episodes are also on YouTube. We've had a lot of people reach out and say they didn't understand iHeartRadio or Pandora or Amazon or Google or any of those. So you can just get on YouTube and listen. Simple thing there. But the best part is, the other night I was sitting at the house and I said, "Hey, Google, play the Unscripted Pulpit." And then I heard my beautiful voice ring out over the whole house. It was so wonderful. It also works on Amazon, so you can ask Alexa, say, "Hey, Alexa," as long as it's saved in your playlist, say, "Hey, Alexa, play the Unscripted Pulpit," and we will play for you. We, again, though, are so very, very glad that you are with us. Glad to have the best co-host that ever was. We've recorded a couple episodes, but I think I got one more in me. You never know, we might have another, but for right now, I want to cover a section of scripture that it's a section of scripture that everybody knows, could probably recite by heart. In my career profession, this is something that is probably read out of, I would say, out of 100 services, it's probably read 80-something times. And it is often misconstrued and overlooked, but we're going to break it down and deep dive it, especially one point. And that is the Psalm of David, the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Excuse me. He maketh, let me restart that completely, because I done butchered that up. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to bring your attention to a particular part of this passage. Of course, the rest of it is kind of laid out in a way that we can understand. But I want you to think of this in the aspect, see it through the eyes of a sheep and a shepherd. Most humans are not going out laying in green pastures. I'll just be honest with you. I have laid out in the field before, as I'm sure some of us have. But I want you to look at this as if you are the sheep and he is the master, the shepherd. Of course, you know, he maketh me lie down in green pastures. For a sheep, in order to live, as sensitive as a sheep is, they have to have fresh green grass. They cannot eat hay the way that a horse or bovine, a cow does. They cannot eat that. They have to have good water. They cannot have dry, stagnant water. And that's a message for another day on the use of having running water and not dry, stagnant water. And you ask me how water can be dry. Water itself can be dry when it stagnates. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me down in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. When you think of a shepherd, they have a rod or a staff. Think of the shepherd's hook that have the hook on them, and they have that hook on them so that they can reach down and pull the lamb back to safety if they're in a ditch or a hole or over a cliff. But the one part that I want to really deep dive and dissect is verse number 5 in the 23rd Psalm. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of thine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Preparest a table before me in the presence of thine enemies. There's many people in this world that don't like Austin. There's many people that would rather see me. They would rather see my obituary posted on the computer than to have to see my face walk into a room. And those same people, I can honestly sit here and say, I would not go sit down and have dinner with them. But at the end of the day, with our Lord and Savior, he prepares that table with them sitting there. Because it doesn't matter if you listen to an episode previously, that we just did. It doesn't matter who you are, what you are, what color your skin is, what you believe, or who you are. As long as you follow the basic ideal of coming to Christ, as Romans says, completely confess with your mouth and confess thy sins and believe in God, you have a seat at the master's table. It doesn't matter who else is around the table. It doesn't matter who else is in the room or in the restaurant. Metaphorically speaking, you have a seat at the table. That part in itself is enough we could carry on all day. But I want to draw your attention to the second part of verse number 5. Thou anointest my head with oil. I will admit, I've always wondered what that part meant. He anoints my head with oil, but it is figuratively speaking the flesh, but it is also metaphorically speaking as if we were sheep. I never knew what the parallel of this was and what the breakdown was of it. So I started to research and I started to cut in half and put to carnal mind what I thought that meant versus what it actually could mean. And I found a quote here from a gentleman, and I'm not going to quote. This is not my quote. This is not the Unscripted Pulpits quote, but this is multiple quotes from both agricultural aspects as well as another man of God and what his thoughts were. But it says, and I quotate and give all credit to them, sheep can get their head caught in briars and die trying to get untangled, as sensitive as they are. They are horrid to little flies that like to torment sheep by laying eggs in their nostrils and turns these into worms. And the sheep will then beat their heads against rocks, sometimes to the point where they die, in order to try to get rid of these insects that are in their ears and their eyes that are tormenting them. So the shepherds oftentimes layer oil onto their heads. This oil then creates a little bit of protection. I can remember when my nieces and nephews were but babies, they would have dry places on their little faces, and their mommies or my mommy would take the Vaseline, which is an oil base, and they would take that, or coconut oil, and they would put it on top of that, and it would help prevent them from scratching their faces. It would help moisturize their skin. Keep in mind that same idea. That oil forms a barrier of protection against the flies that are trying to destroy the sheep. I have to wonder with you today when your last anointing from the Lord was. I'm not speaking about going up in front of the church and the church laying hands on you. I'm talking about when Jesus comes down and his spirit moves upon your life and layers you in that metaphorical oil. I have to wonder, have you ever had times of mental torment? Do the worrisome thoughts invade your mind over time? Do you have to figuratively and metaphorically beat your head against a wall in order to try to get you to some peace? I wonder at night when you're laying in the bed and your mind will not shut off, and you have to sit there and ponder about what's going to happen tomorrow and what happened today, when the last time was that God come by and coated you in that salve, anointed you with his blessed oil. I can't help but begin to think, have you ever asked God to anoint your head in oil? He has an endless supply of oil that protects you and makes it possible for you to fix your heart and your mind and your eyes on him today and always will. There is peace in a valley when you have the anointing of God upon your life. You have to sit here and consider when the last time your cup ranneth over. You know, a lot of people don't understand, but when it says in that right there in that same verse, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of thine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. I want you to think about that particular verse there in verse number 5 in the 23rd chapter of Psalms. That cup that's running over, I have to sit here and wonder. I'm sure if we break it down, we'll find the right meaning, the textual meaning of it. But in my mind, I want you to metaphorically think about this in this aspect. When your head gets anointed with oil from God, and you sit back and you start reaping all the things that anointment has got you through, whether it be sickness, whether it be your people getting saved, whether it be a bad environment at work, whether it be finding the blessings that you're looking for, and your cup runneth over. What is your cup running over with? I can't help but tend to think, what if the same anointing that God put on your head to protect you from all the things in this world, what if your cup is the anointing oil that you have to put on somebody else? Your anointing could easily be the next anointing for somebody else. When you receive the protection against all the things that you have in life and all the things that you're dealing with, it's no doubt to me, not one bit, that your anointing could be the anointing that causes someone else to come to find Christ or comes to get that help that they're needing. Not too long ago, just within maybe the past 4 years, there was a massive flood that hit southeastern Kentucky. Myself and Brother Jeremiah and Sister Sarah prayed and sought the face of God, and we received the anointing to be able to go over to help them people. That whole thing immaculately became much more than what we thought we could handle in the aspect of, What planned is me and Jeremiah and Sarah getting in our vehicle and taking water and vital supplies, what we could fit in the car, to southeastern Kentucky, just our neighbors to the east, just by a few miles. We then immaculated that into multiple businesses and other churches. We received the anointing to go help those people. Then other people received the anointing to help those people. And then people over there received the anointing because we showed up. There was a man that come by in a prayer line in the vehicles. We had people out in the road giving out supplies and praying with people. If I'm not mistaken, and quote me on this if I'm wrong, one of you two, if you remember, if I'm not mistaken, we took about 1,000 prayer cloths up there and we passed them out from 8 a.m. up until about 6 p.m. And we still never ran out. We left more there than what we brought originally. We don't know where they come from, but that doubles back on that multiplication that we've seen one too many times, just as Jesus did on the shores with the two loaves and five fish, or whatever the correct number was. That multiplication was made up in them prayer cloths. There is a man that came through who was with the electric company that was from Pikeville, Kentucky. He had electric. He had a bed to sleep in. But I tell you what, when he come through and he received the anointing because of our anointing to go and do what we done, he now is a member of a church over there, which we went and helped. His family is saved. He is saved. And when I say his family, I'm not speaking just to him, but I'm also speaking all the way down the line of his wife and his children. Your anointing could be the anointing that causes men to come to know Christ in the free pardon of sin. There is something important and a serious aspect about the anointing that we have. Now, I have shared my thoughts with the matter, and I could go on and on and on, but I've got two co-hosts that I'm sure would love to elaborate a little bit more. So I'm going to give it over to you all, and then I'll pick up and battle off of where you was at.
Well, Austin, I'll just tell you, you know, we talked about this a little bit earlier, and I didn't know what God was doing whenever he laid it on my heart. But, you know, we talked about Moses tonight. We talked about God telling Moses that he needed to go and to tell Pharaoh to let his people go. He told Moses, he said, I want you to go. He said, what you got in your hand, Moses? What are you carrying around?
Mm-hmm.
He said, a rod. When I was reading it, I was thinking, well, Lord, why'd you lay this on my heart? Why'd you lay it on my heart? Because it had nothing to do with what Austin was talking about when we were talking previously. But it just kind of followed up, kept stepping stone. And God told Moses, he said, what's that in your hand? He said, that's a rod. He said, lay it down on the ground. He laid it down on the ground. It turned into a serpent. And Moses, like many of us, went to shudder away from it because we were scared. And God told Moses, he said, I want you to go into Egypt. I want you to go back to Pharaoh and tell him what I have told you. And Moses, even then, was saying, well, Lord, I am of a slow tongue. I'm not going to have the words to say. I'm not going to be able to do and say what you have told me to go and do. And God said, didn't I create you? Didn't I create your mouth? I created everything that I'm telling you to do. I've created within you. And even Moses then was still a little nervous about it. And he said, what about Aaron? He said, Aaron, he said, he is going to know what I have said. And he will be your mouthpiece. He said that Aaron will be your mouthpiece. See, God doesn't just put you on a path and say, you know, you just go and do. He gives us all the tools at our disposal to do what he has called us to do. We may get things wrong. We may say things wrong. We may not have all the words to articulate, but the Lord is never going to put you in a situation where he does not have a plan. You can use your anointing. You can use your calling for the benefit. You can use your calling for the benefit of heaven.
That's right.
You can use that. It's not always meant for Not everybody can be a preacher. Not everybody can be a teacher. But God, what God's asking from you is to be a willing vessel.
That's right.
To be used. That's what a vessel is. When I heard that vessel one time I was in church and heard the word vessel, and I just thought of Egypt when they had them things they carried the water in, the vessels, and they were just big, and that's what I thought. But when I started to pray and ask God, you know, what do you mean by vessel? What do you mean by that? And he began to pull out scripture in various terms, and he would say that, you know, some vessels are made to carry water, some are made to carry this. He began to show me that different vessels can carry different things. Different people can bring different things to the table. Sometimes it's not meant for you to provide everything. God has given you a purpose. God has given you a stance to stand in His name, and He's asking you to be a willing vessel for Him. And I say to you that is listening tonight, I pray for each and every one of you that you would know that you are a vessel in the hands of God, and that God has blessed you and He has ordained you to stand apart from the world, to stand apart from those naysayers that say you do not belong, to stand apart from all of that in Jesus' name. I know that God has ordained me to preach the gospel. I know that God has ordained Austin to lead the charge in this ministry. And we are just willing vessels. We're not perfect. We don't want to say everything right. We won't do everything right, but we're willing. We're willing to put our ankles in the water, ankle deep, and stride right along.
I follow up with what you had to say there. Anointing is not an actual physical element in which does anything. The act of anointing is a divine metaphorical use in which sets apart, leading back into, I believe it was First Chronicles, around the 29th chapter, King Solomon was anointed the ruler over Israel. And what the anointing does is set you apart from the things that are going on. We go before the church when we're sick. The Bible says, call for the elders of the church and lay hands upon those that are sick. When we get to the point where we're at that aspect, we are set apart. And no, the anointing does not heal the cancer. The anointing does not cause the drunken to be sober. The anointing does not alter everything immediately. But the anointing is what is there that withdraws you from the evil and sets you up on the high place at the right hand of the Father, metaphorically speaking. If y'all don't know what metaphor means, that means I'm telling you all this to try to get you to understand it. I am using one thing to tell you what another thing, to purvey what another thing means. The anointing is the action of setting apart. When a shepherd would find a sheep who was damaged and beat up and brutal, as we have been many times in our lives, and we've been beat up by the things of this world, we get to the point where we have to have the anointing, where the oil is put up on us as poor, wretched sheep. And the Lord comes in and puts that anointing upon us, and He sets us apart. Because once the oil is on the sheep, the flies and everything cannot get on the sheep no more. It is the act of setting apart.
I've lost my train of thought here. I apologize.
There are multiple aspects of this in the Bible when people have been anointed, both physically as well as metaphorically. Trying to think where the last one. The purpose is just the Baker's Evangelical Dictionary of Biblical Theology says to smear or rub with oil or perfume for either private or religious purposes. The Hebrew term for anoint is masa, M-A-S-A-H, which has a secular content has a secular I can't even say that word anyway, such as rubbing or shielding with oil. The true Hebrew meaning of anointing, which I said was the massa, M-A-S-A-H, is to shield from whatever bad is coming. Whenever you get to the point where you need a little bit of shielding, when you're sick, when things are going bad, sometimes you just have to sit down and pray. And when you get down and you start praying, you get that anointing, and that anointing and shields you from the trash and the different things. Anointing kings was sometimes failed in their task and were reminded with their accountability. People were anointed and God empowered them to accomplish tasks. No one was allowed to be harmed when God's anointing was upon their life. Just the same as the story of Brother Job. Job lost everything, his children, his cattle, the whole nine yards. Job's wife said, look, why don't you just curse God and go ahead and die? Get it over with and everything. But Job had the anointing of God upon his life, where when he went through the whole process that he went through, he still came out on top and become one of the richest men in all the area or the kingdom or whatever you have it. I'm going to hush. I'm sure you two got something else to say, and I'm wearing myself out over here, and I'm going to end up ending this at 25 minutes, and I'm sure you all got more to go.
Well, I do have a thought.
Praise God.
I love Psalms 23, and I've always, you know, it's been a chapter that I've always, you know, read in hard times, but tonight, really, as you were reading that, Austin, I thought, you know, verse number 6, I never really quite looked at it the way that I have looked at it tonight. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
That's right. With the shepherd's protection,
yes,
you'll always be in the same field that you're meant to be in.
I looked up the word dwell, you know. That means I'm going to tarry. I'm going to stick around. The verses before, that comes before verse 6, you know, we all know Psalms 23, he just read it, you know, he anointed my head. Those are all good things. Why would anybody want to stick around anywhere else? He says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm going to stick around the Lord because he takes care of me. I'm not going to go back out into the world where I came from, where the wolves will devour me. I'm going to stay close to the church. I'm going to stay close to the Lord, where I know that he prepares a table before in the presence of my enemies. He takes care of me. He prepares the way when I see no way. Why would I want to go back out into a world that is lost and dying? That reminds me of the sermon that we heard Brother Josh Bowman at the Green Space the other night. You know, not to be taken out of context, but he said, you know, he said, what in hell are you looking for? You know, the actual place, hell, he said, what in hell are you looking for? What out in the world are you looking for? God has every need taken care of that you could ever need. He leads you beside still waters. I mean, if somebody does that for me, you better believe I'm going to stick around. I'm going to tarry.
That's right.
For the rest of the days of my life, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So, I mean, once you feed an old dog, they usually, you know, Jeremiah around the house, he'll feed cats. And those cats, they've stuck around.
Yes.
But I'm like those cats, you know, the Lord feeds me.
Well,
daily.
You fed Jerry and he stuck around.
That's
I mean,
right. We are loaded daily with benefits from the Lord. You know, I'm going to tarry with the Lord. I want to stick around because he has good things prepared for me and my family. Also, another verse of scripture that came to my mind was out of Luke 15. It said, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in which the wilderness and go after that which is lost until
come on, Sarah.
So I heard a song before, and you may have heard this before, Austin. It's a have you heard the
Hoppers?
I can't remember who sings it, but the bridge of it says, you would think with so many lambs
Losing one wouldn't be just so bad, but he's been faithful taking care of me like I'm the only lamb that he has. So, it matters. You matter to the Lord. Just because you're one little sheep, you may think, you know, you may think if you're in church, you know, I don't matter. There's so many other people that can sing my song, that can greet people at the door. They can do that. I'm nothing. But the Lord tells us in the Bible that he's going to go after that one lamb because that lamb is important. It matters to the flock, and it has an important job that nobody can do like you can do. They can't sing your song, Jeremiah. Nobody can sing your song.
Well, the Bible says that when we get to heaven, we'll sing a song that not even the angels can sing.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm going to draw back. Went to a revival, and the sermon that was preached last night, Pastor John Walden from Cleveland, Ohio, preached a sermon about Naaman and how the maid that was in bondage, how she had said that if we could just get a message to the prophet, that the leprosy would be healed, and how it wasn't just a single person, and she was just a maid. The Bible goes as far as even saying that she was an unnamed maid. Mm-hmm. And you look back on that, and you look through the story of Naaman and how it breaks down and everything else. The faith and anointing of that one unnamed maid reached Naaman, Naaman's wife, reached Naaman's wife, and then Naaman, and then all the other kings and rulers all the way down.
That was a good message. I love
that. Was that, props to Brother John Walden. Yes, that was a good one.
Yes, I listened to that today while I was doing my dishes, and I could have ran laps around in my living room. I probably should have. But he's taking care of me like I'm the only sheep that he has. So,
you know, what I was reminded of whenever he was talking about the oil, he anointed my head with oil, was that was whenever Moses was anointing Aaron's head with oil as the priest. Mm-hmm. And it is the most beautiful description of anointing a head with oil, or anointing with oil, period.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll read that real quick. It's in Leviticus chapter number 8 and verse number 10. And it says, "And Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was therein and sanctified them. And he sprinkled thereof upon the altar 7 times and anointed the altar and all his vessels, both the laver and his foot, to sanctify them. And he poured of the anointing oil upon Aaron's head and anointed him to sanctify him. And Moses brought Aaron's sons and put coats upon them and girded them with girdles and put bonnets upon them as the Lord commanded Moses." That, I mean, whenever he began to pour that oil, it went down his head, it touched his face, his beard, went all the way down through his body to prepare him for what the Lord was going to do with Aaron. It was all done in, what's the word? It was all done in preparation of what God was going to do.
And I think that is very symbolic. Anointing is symbolic, not to be taken as literally, which you absolutely can take it literally, but it's also very symbolic of being covered with, you know, the Spirit.
Yes.
And we want the Spirit to, the Holy Ghost, to indwell in us and not to leave an inch uncovered. The anointing is so precious, and it's not to be taken lightly.
No.
You have to deal very seriously with that, because the anointing can be taken away from somebody.
Yes. Yes, it can. I have been able to ask the Lord for discernment on I asked the Lord for discernment because there'd be, when me and Sarah first got together and we were first married, She could tell when the service would change. She could tell different things. And I began to pray, and I was like, God, I need you to show me that. I feel like that is something that I need. And it's helped me tremendously in my walk. Oh, so much. Because I have been in services where the preacher would get up to preach, and you would see that anointing. But then when the anointing left, sometimes that preacher would still be up there. And that's when you need to sit down. I never want to be guilty of that. I never want to be guilty of that. And I know we're probably getting into some serious issue, serious thing, but to me, it is serious. It is very serious. I don't ever want to speak anything that's not from heaven, from God. I don't ever want to do that. And if I preach 10 minutes or whether I preach 15 minutes, if I've got the anointing and I'm preaching and God says stop at 15 minutes, that's what I'm going to do, because that's me being an obedient vessel.
You can say so much more to help somebody in the 15 minutes that you're anointed rather than 30 minutes where you're
rambling.
Yes.
The anointing is what breaks the yoke.
Yes.
That is what helps people change the hearts. Only God can make the change.
Yes.
The anointing is what gets in people's hearts and starts to change them. So it's very important, even, you know, as you're all preaching. But as a singer, you know, I love to sing. That's one of my callings. I've sang since I was young, but I've always prayed to have the anointing. Because if we don't have the anointing, we might as well just go sit down. The anointing is what. When I've always prayed to be a blessing to somebody, it's not about me. It's about me helping somebody, the Lord helping somebody. But I felt when I'm singing, when the Lord comes by and he anoints, but when he lifts that anointing, that's when you sit down. You have to be aware of that as a servant, because if you're in yourself, I mean, it's just, he may do more damage than good.
Well, Austin?
Yes, sir. I think this has been a very productive podcast. I think Sarah should close us out in prayer. And if nobody else has anything to say.
Well, before she closes, I agree. I think it's been a good one. Appreciate you all listening. Don't forget, check us out online, www.theunscriptedpulpit.com. Also, if you have any questions, concerns, prayer requests, check us out on our website. All those options are there, as well as so much more information, our merch store and everything else. We are reachable at all times, y'all. You want to get a hold of us, got something you want to say, you can call us 859-412-2187, or you can reach out through email info@theunscriptedpulpit.com. We'd be more than happy to talk to you. We thank you all for listening. You all are, without our people that listen and without our church family, we wouldn't be nothing. But that's, I'll sum it up with that. And Sister Sarah, if you can close us out in prayer.
Okay. Dear Lord, thank you for this wonderful day of life that you've given us, Lord. Thank you for this ministry that you have given us to. It's just one more way to glorify you, Lord. And I know that our hearts, we are servants. We are not anything but a servant for you, Lord. And we love to talk about you, Jesus, on this platform. Lord, we love to give you glory. And that is what it's all about. Most of all, Lord, I ask that you just save somebody. If our listeners are driving down the road, or if they're at work, or if they're at home, wherever they may be, Lord, I ask that you just watch over them. Let them know that you love them. Give them a peace and a comfort, Lord. Minister to them in a way that only you can. Let the words of our mouths be glorifying to you, Lord. Watch over them. Keep them safe and healthy. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Well, tell his goodness.
Tell him his goodness.
Come on, testify.
If
God's been good to you,
tell him his goodness.
You ought to testify.
Testify.
If I get